This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming, presented to you by Masing.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Budget 2018 was said to not have effectively addressed Malaysia's core environmental issues. So has Budget 2019 filled those gaps, especially in terms of more protection of our natural resources and environment? Joining me now to discuss if conservation of the environment was prioritised in this year's budget is Surin Suksuan. He is a conservationist and a member of the IUCN World Commission on Protected Areas. Welcome, Surin. How are you today?
Hi, Jude. I'm good. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. So, Surin, you know, the environment got very neatly packaged mentioned towards the end of this year's tabling of the budget. How did you feel about it? I mean, you know, the government said they're committed to take all necessary measures to protect our environment, both as a responsibility to and a gift to our future generations. What did you think of that?
Well, I think that there are some interesting developments in the budget. But I think maybe it's a bit early to say anything conclusive because, you know, we really need to see the details. Now, one of the most interesting items in the budget from an environmental point of view is this new allocation of 60 million ringgit for the state governments to protect and expand our existing natural reserves. That's how it was worded in the text.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think that's potentially quite exciting, but we don't have details in terms of what kind of projects will be funded, what would be the mechanism of the fund transfer, and what are the safeguards by the federal government to make sure that the funds are actually used for the purpose that they are, that is set up for. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, as you said before, like forests and marine reserves, they're all under the care of the state governments. But the federal government now is going to pump in some money to fund specific projects, like you said. But, you know, we don't quite know what that is yet, is it?
Yeah. And the second thing also is that, I mean, the 60 million that they've allocated for this, I mean, it's a good start. But clearly from in the point of view of the scale of the effort needed to protect and manage our natural resources, I think that it's a fairly small sum.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, just to give you an idea, as a comparison, the federal government has previously set aside 600 million ringgit through Kazana for establishing the Taman Tugu Park, which is within KL.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Just recently opened, yeah.
So that's 10 times more than what the federal government is now planning to give to the state governments. And we have 14 state governments, well, 13 state governments, right, not counting the federal government. So, you know, by the time you
divvy that up
to the individual state portion, you're not actually having a big amount to play with, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, this is 60 million is quite a small figure, isn't it? Considering the severity of the problem that we are facing as a nation in protecting our natural resources and environment.
Exactly. There have been some studies done in terms of what kind of funding, you know, what the scale of funding needed for protecting our national parks, for example. You know, we can look at it from a point of view of per hectare basis, right? How many ringgit you need per hectare.
Okay.
And, you know, if for most of our national parks and wildlife reserves, we have a shortage of enforcement people, right?
Yeah.
So basically, we need more boots on the ground. So in order to boost up our enforcement, there, you know, we need to greatly expand the number of enforcement people who are actually patrolling our forests and so on. So I think 60 million ringgit. And again, you know, this is to fund specific projects. So it doesn't really address one of the key issues, which is in terms of the operational aspects of running national parks, state parks, as well as so on. Because, you know, these really, you know, you need to relate that to salaries, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think the allocation for specific projects would unlikely to cover operational costs.
Is this the first time that the federal government is actually making such an allocation at all?
No, I don't think that is the first time. I think that in the past, they have allocated funds for establishing new parks and all that. But this is probably the first time where they've said it in the way they frame it is that this is to help state governments as a whole.
Right.
And they didn't mention exactly what project. So I guess then the state governments are then allowed to propose to the federal government. Another issue also is that in the past, a lot of these kind of allocations to state governments were in the form of support for tourism activities rather than protection of natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good move that they are actually now saying, okay, here's the money for protecting natural resources. I mean, it's also interesting to note that there's another 50 million ringgit going into the state from the tourism tax. So 50% of the proceeds of the tourism tax will be going into the state government treasuries. But I mean, the question here is that what will the state government be using that 50 million for? Will it be more for more promotional activities? Or would some of that also go towards protecting the natural resources? I mean, if you think about it, most of the tourism that's happening in Malaysia is dependent on our natural resources, the beaches, the forests, and the wildlife and so on, right? So ideally, when funds are being used to protect our tourism resources, it should also mean protecting our natural resources.
And not building more airports and things like that, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure that there are other funds available for that.
Because, you know, I mean, an area that I know is very special to your heart, for example, is the Ulumudu Forest Reserve, right? And I mean, that was always a battle between federal and state, isn't it? But now, of course, you know, the state government under Mukris Mahathir has actually said that they will stop all logging there. And, you know, that's, you know, because it's crucial to water supply of Kedah and Penang, for example, right? So I suppose these sorts of projects will be, I mean, this allocation, the 60 million will go into funding these sorts of things, these sorts of projects to protect areas like that, you know, like you know, crucial water catchment areas and things like that. Do you think that's what it's hopefully going to be used for?
Well, yeah. I mean, as I was saying, we don't really have the details yet as to how the 60 million is going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be really exciting if the money is used to kind of as more like a seed funding to test out some of the ideas. So, for example, in the case of Ulumuda, people have been calling for a payment for ecosystem scheme to be introduced, whereby industries and other parties, Penang state government, for example, that are relying on water that's being sourced from the Ulumuda area, should contribute to the protection of the area.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting if, let's say, part of that 60 million ringgit actually goes into the setting up of a long-term PS scheme. So it's not just a one-off thing, but rather, you know, you use that money, you start up something that would have a longer term impact in terms of the sustainability of the area. I think that would be money well spent rather than just say, okay, well, I'll take some of that money and maybe buy a vehicle or, you know, build a ranger station. I mean, those things are useful, but I think it would be good to have something more long lasting in terms of how money spent.
I just wanted to talk about, you know, how the Kedah government said they're going to explore new sources of wealth as well. You know, one of that was for international agencies, for example, to pay Kedah to refrain from logging. There's a program known as a reduction of CO2 emissions program as a result of logging and degradation of forest. That's under REDD, right? RED. I mean, do you think these sorts of things are also very important, you know, moving forward to kind of protect all our natural resources?
Yeah, those things have been, you know, they have been proposed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But we have yet to see any real instances of those kind of funding mechanism being implemented in Malaysia.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see what's happening in Indonesia, for example, where the Norwegian government has pledged $10 billion.
Okay.
To Indonesia. Under an REDD type of arrangement, right? So if Indonesia commits to protecting its forest resources, then they can tap into this funding. So it remains to be seen whether the federal and state governments in Malaysia are willing to have that kind of arrangement whereby, yes, you will receive international funding, mm-hmm. but normally there will be some strings attached. These governments are not just going to give the money like that. I mean, they want to make sure that the money is being spent properly, that you have to adhere to certain conditions, and so on. So, yeah, I mean, it's to be expected. Right? So if you want to get funding, then we need to also agree to do certain things. There's no such thing as a free lunch, as they say.
No, of course not. But I mean, I guess it's something that's interesting for state governments to also explore rather than waiting for federal government to always step in. I mean, there are mechanisms out there that can be used. It's just, I guess, whether we know about it and whether we are willing to talk to foreign investors, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess that's one area where the budget has not really explored much in terms of institutional reform. Now, I know that we are talking about institutional reform right now, mainly in the political sphere or even the economic sphere. But I think where the environment is concerned, we also need to have institutional reform. I think that one of the root causes of why the state governments have allowed logging to continue or mining and so on, you know, activities that damage the environment, is because they have very narrow economic base. They can only get revenue from the land resources, water and forests, timber and so on.
Yeah.
So if the federal government allows for the state governments to raise other revenues that do not lead to the exploitation of natural resources, then hopefully that will lead to the state governments being able to manage their resources better.
And you mentioned that this is, I mean, like the fund that I mentioned just now, that is something that's been discussed a lot. But I mean, I don't know, like you said, Lan, there's nothing much has been happening in those areas. So this is something that needs more exploration, I suppose.
Yeah, so I think the state and federal governments have to get together, discuss this at a high level, and agree to approach this in a holistic manner, especially when they are engaging with international parties to negotiate for access to this kind of funding. For example, in the previous administration, there was something called the National Biodiversity Council, where it's chaired by either the Prime Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, and the members comprised the Menteri Besar, Chief Ministers of all the states in Malaysia. So I think that those kind of high-level discussions should happen, where they look into potential financing for conservation-related projects.
Okay, all right. I just want to talk a little bit about another thing that was mentioned in the budget, that the government is going to take steps to list the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia, or FRIM, in Selangor, and the Royal Belum Perak as UNESCO World Heritage Sites. How did you feel about that?
Well, the proposal for these two areas to be listed as World Heritage Sites have been around for some time. What needs to be done really is to compile the dossier for submission to UNESCO. The process can take quite a long time because there are a lot of things that you need to comply with in terms of the information on those sites and all that. So I hope that whoever is helping, in this case, the federal government and the Perak state government, right? To prepare the dossier is, you know, I hope that whoever that's advising has the relevant qualification and familiarity with the World Heritage proposal procedures. I mean, a classic example is Taman Negara, where I think there's been not less than 3 attempts at listing Taman Negara, but not successful, I think, for various reasons related to how the dossier was put together.
Oh, I see.
So I think that of the two sites, FRIM may be in a better position because there is actually quite a well-established management system in place. It's also a smaller site and it's got a long history. So I think that they probably stand a good chance. And maybe it might be both natural heritage and also cultural heritage, because a large part of FRIM is actually forest that was restored from a former vegetable farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a cultural element there as well. And Royal Bloom, on the other hand, I think that there's a long way to go in terms of its management. I think they're trying hard, but you know, it's a huge area. There's huge challenges in terms of managing the area.
Yeah.
They have to make sure that the management plan that they have is put into practice, being implemented, and also to increase their enforcement workforce. So all these things have to be in place before you get listed as a World Heritage Site. I mean, some people think that, okay, let's get World Heritage status and then that will allow us to raise funds and then tackle all these issues. But it's actually the other way around. You need to get your house in order first and then you can be eligible to be a World Heritage Site.
Exactly. And the kind of budget that you need to get all those things, well, to get your house in order, as you said, that is no small figure, is it?
No, especially with a big park like Royal Bloom, which is kind of, you know, which is quite isolated.
Yeah.
So much infrastructure there. They've got a huge gap in terms of the capacity of the management team there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you will need to adopt a longer time frame for Royal Bloom to be established. So I think it's great that the federal government has mentioned this in the budget. That means that they're serious about it, and hopefully they will provide all the necessary support to FRIM and also the Perak State Government in order to get these two sites listed.
Do you, you know, personally, would you have also have liked to have seen the gazetting or the establishment of more national parks, for example, you know, more protected areas and I suppose more allocation to the proper management of these areas? Because I know, I remember reading or speaking to you previously, I know an area that was of concern to you was like Gunung Kantan, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, would you have hoped to have seen more of, more things like that?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, there are new state parks and other protected areas gazetted all the time. Recently, for example, we have the Setiu Wetlands Park in Terengganu gazetted.
Yeah.
And also now, you know, the Kinta Geopark in Perak recently. I'm not sure if it's actually being gazetted, but yeah, I think it's well on its way. Now, it's fine to expand the protected areas on one hand,
mm-hmm.
but we also have to make sure that the management response is in line with the expansion of these areas.
Yeah,
there's no point having more parks, but then the same number of people managing those parks with the same kind of budget.
Yeah.
A good example is in Johor, where the parks there are managed by the Johor National Park Corporation, JNPC.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first started out with just one park, which is the Endau Rompin, they had something like 1 million ringgit allocated per year by the state government. And then later on, they added Gunung Ledang National Park, Tanjung Piai National Park, Pulau Kukup National Park. And apparently, the budget was still about the same. So that clearly has changed. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, miracles aren't going to happen just because you've gazetted a particular area, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So those are the aspects of the natural resource and environment that was kind of tackled in this year's budget. I guess, you know, what is your wish list or what do you hope to see moving forward, you know, in the next year, Surin, from all of this?
Yeah, so I think that at least the commitments are laid out in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is in the detail, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that moving forward, the relevant parties involved, the federal government, state governments, should engage with the wider conservation community. I think there's a lot of expertise within the country itself. So hopefully they will have those kind of consultations whereby, you know, the experts can provide their views as to how the funds that have been allocated can be used wisely. And also, to reiterate what I said earlier, I think the institutional reform aspects of environmental management in this country, which were not well captured in the budget.
Mm.
I think those things should proceed even if we don't have a specific budget line allocated to it. Because, you know, institutional reform, if you think about it, doesn't really cost a lot of money. It's just about having the political will to make things happen.
Well, I guess that's why we voted the way we did. So let's hope we do see some change. We are hoping for a lot of change, aren't we, Surin? So let's hope that happens in the next year.
Yeah, exactly. expectations are still high. I think people are still optimistic about what positive changes can happen to government. So let's hope those things come true. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Surin. I've been speaking to Surin Suksuwan. He is a conservationist and a member of the IUCN World Commission on Protected Areas. And we were discussing what Budget 2019, what's in store for Malaysia's natural resources and environment. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming was presented to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.